As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and she asked,
"Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me."
"Martha, Martha,"
the Lord answered,
"you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
How brilliant was that? Such attention to detail. We had a practice in the week, and they were just so good. And you were so good today. Thank you so much. That was brilliant acting. So now we come to the talk. Today we're looking at Martha, we've already mentioned. And every week we've had a bit of a call and response about our people, haven't we? So that's no different. So this week, if you go on to the next one, Deborah. It's definitely not that one. It's all right. Lovely. So in the talk, I'm mainly going to focus on thinking about our identity with Jesus and our priorities. But first of all, we're going to do this call and response. So if you remember from our beautiful drama, Martha said, "Don't you care that I've been left to do the work all by myself?" And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, only one thing is needed." So I want this side of the room to say the blue words, and then this side of the room to say the green. Okay, so blue. That sounds very disgruntled, thank you. What would Jesus say?
"Martha, Martha, only one thing is needed."
Perfect. Just to remind you. Now, I've always found this to be a really challenging reading. And this morning, I want us to think about how God has made us all and how we must prioritise spending time with him so that he can teach us how best to live for him. In the reading, we see Jesus arrive at the home of Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. They lived in Bethany. So you can see it's just a little circle on the right-hand side. It was a small village about 2 miles east of Jerusalem, on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. Now, this family formed one of Jesus' closest friendship circles outside of the 12 disciples, and Jesus visited these friends many times. We see the sisters 3 times in the Gospels, here in Luke and also in John. They witnessed Jesus' teaching and miracles firsthand. Do you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? They were there. So let's look at Mary and Martha for the purposes of today. We can assume that Martha was the older sister. As we're told, she opened her home to Jesus. She was practical, hospitable, and action-orientated. She went straight away to prepare a meal for Jesus and his disciples. She was also strong in character. She was the first to go out to Jesus when he arrived after Lazarus had died in John 11. She was also very honest in her faith. She said to Jesus, if you remember, "If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But she went on to say, in her belief, "I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." She was discerning and bold when Jesus reveals to her that he's the resurrection and the life and asks if she believes him. She replies, "Yes, I believe that you are the Messiah." This truth was revealed to Martha, not the disciples, not the crowds, but to his close female friend in her hour of grief. That's Martha. Mary now was contemplative, deeply spiritual, and drawn to sitting at Jesus' feet. She was worshipful and humble. In John 12:3, she anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, an expression of intense personal devotion. She couldn't at the time have understood fully the prophetic significance of what she was doing. But she gave her most precious possession, extravagantly, sacrificially and lavishly to honour Jesus. This is true worship, the best that you have given freely. So those are the characters. When you think about them, who do you most identify with? Martha or Mary? Are you one who likes to serve? A job needs doing and you're up for helping? Do you take pleasure in making everything just right? And then after, you'll sit and engage when everything's done. Are you easily distracted by the things that need doing? Or are you the one who wants to sit quietly and listen? Are you able to concentrate on focus and focus despite the things? Where would you be in this story if Jesus visited you in your home? Would you be at his feet or in the kitchen? How do you feel about that? I feel more like Martha. And if you know me, you're probably not surprised by that. A doer, a practical one. A job needs doing, and I'd get on with it. But more than that, actually, I find it really difficult to sit still. I'm finding it quite difficult to stand still. I could see myself in the kitchen, preparing a feast perfect for Jesus. Would I feel anxious? Certainly would. Would I feel distracted? Definitely. And would I also feel frustrated that I was missing out on what Jesus was saying? The story always made me question why God had made me this way if there was a better way for me to be. God doesn't want that. So Martha and Mary, two different characters with different gifts and abilities. Is this story showing us that one is right and one is wrong? But didn't God make them both just the way they were? Does God know what he's doing? I'm sure he does. I believe that God made us all individually with different gifts, distinctive, different talents. He made us and he loves us. We are his hands and his feet in this world. And for that reason, it's completely right that we're all different. So let's think about difference then and beautiful distinctions. Who here loves football? Hands up if you love football. Oh, quite a few. That's great, isn't it, to love football? Do you think God could use you as you meet to play with your friends? Could he use you? Might he give you words to say, to tell about your faith? How about the footballers we saw praying on the pitches before the matches? Who here loves art? God inspires those who create beautiful things, doesn't he? These can help us see God in creation. Would he also use you as you meet to draw and paint with others? Who loves to cook and host? Anyone? No one? Oh, don't let me down, babe. God will surely use you as you create and serve food and entertain others. Might he also bless you with conversations as you eat together with your friends? As I said, no one is better than the other, just different, and God will use us if we are willing. But in order for him to do that, he wants us to spend time with him so that he can show us how he wants us to use our gifts to serve him. And be assured, we've all got gifts to serve him. This means setting aside time with him to listen to him, just as we heard last week. This might not feel easy, and we may certainly feel distracted, but we must put him first. In Matthew, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. This needs to be a priority for us if we are to grow in him. So back to the passage. Jesus is visiting, he's teaching. Mary is sitting at his feet, listening, worshipping. Martha, distracted by all of the preparations. And then in Luke 10:40, she snaps. She goes to Jesus and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha sounds frustrated and resentful. Have you ever felt like this? I'm ashamed to say that I have. Busy with lots of jobs, while everybody else seems to be able to sit around and not really worry about them. Jesus' response is gentle but firm. He doesn't shout at Martha. He's not cross with her. He says, Martha, Martha, As we've heard in previous weeks, this is really significant because he uses her name twice. It's a moment of calling for her. He wants her to grab her attention because he's got something really important to say. He knows her potential, even if she doesn't. Next, he says, "You're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it won't be taken away from her." Jesus isn't saying that service is bad or that Martha's hospitality didn't matter. Hospitality is listed as a spiritual gift in 1 Peter. But Mary was worried and upset. The Greek word here for worried is merimneo. I love words, do you? It means to be anxious, distracted, pulled in multiple directions. She wasn't satisfied where she was, doing what she was doing. She wasn't just serving, she was anxious. And she'd let the work consume her to the point where she missed the whole reason for the work itself. Jesus was in her house. The better part that Mary chose wasn't about being lazy. It was about priorities. Jesus is teaching and everything else can wait. He was all that mattered in that moment, and she refused to be distracted. How can we refuse to be distracted? When you spend time with Jesus, what kind of things distract you? Anybody brave enough to shout out anything? You sit to pray. Were you going to say something? So Rosie's daughter's cat distracted her from reading her Bible. Anybody else? Fall asleep? Yep, sleep, definitely. Anything else? Your phone, okay. Yeah? Oh, were you yawning? I thought you were putting your hands up.
I usually desperately need a cup of tea.
Oh, a cup of tea, yeah. Lots of things can come and distract us. Social media, television, conversations with people, jobs to be done. And none of these are wrong in themselves, but they are all wrong if they take our attention when Jesus wants us to spend time with him. So Mary sat at Jesus' feet. In Jewish culture, the place at Jesus' feet would have been a place reserved for male students. Women would not have sat at a rabbi's feet. So when Mary sat there, she was assuming the posture of a disciple, and Jesus himself defended her right to be there. This was revolutionary. Jesus was breaking cultural barriers, affirming that women could be disciples, that they belonged in the circle of learners. I think that Jesus wanted Martha to be there with him too. And I love Jesus for that. Do you remember when Bishop kept saying she loved Jesus for something? If you're here, she kept saying it, and it was lovely. So what do we take away from the story then? Jesus sees each one of us and knows us. There are lessons here for us, whether we identify with Mary or Martha. There is no right or wrong way. Jesus loves us just the way we are, but he wants us to spend time with him and prioritise our time over other things that might compete for his attention. If you're a Martha, the person who often serves, like me, who notices what needs to be done, who feels responsible for making everything work, Jesus isn't condemning us for that. He's inviting us to rest. The problem isn't about service, but anxious service. The problem is when you're so busy doing things for Jesus that you forget to be with Jesus. When your serving becomes a substitute for sitting and you resent the Marys in your life because they seem to have permission to just be. Martha let her service steal her joy. Jesus wants us to go to him to reset. This takes time. Time with Jesus, allowing him to remind us of our identity and purpose in him. If you're a Mary and drawn to worship, Bible study, contemplation and prayer, that's great. Jesus will bless you there. But it's also important that the practical work's not overlooked. Mary's time with Jesus resulted in action, costly action, when she anointed him for his burial. Her time with him made her generous. So we need Marthas who create space for community and Marys who model devotion. The key is to learn to do both with the right heart. We need to serve without anxiety, worship wholeheartedly, work from a place of rest, not from a desperate need to prove our worth, because our worth is to be found in our identity as God's children only, not in our works. This isn't a story about two sisters with one right and one wrong, but an opportunity to see that Jesus wants to empower us, or just the way he made us, with all of our talents and gifts. He is reminding us that agitation and anxiety will only get in the way of learning from him who we truly are. Time spent with Jesus gives us the opportunity to be reminded how much he loves us, how valuable we are to him, and how he wants to transform us into the people that he wants us to be, freely and truly ourselves, abounding in the joy of our identity in him, whether Martha's or Mary's. Amen.